This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Rappaport to the rescue with award-winning animal advocate, best-selling author, journalist, and pet products creator, Jill Rappaport.
Hi, I'm Jill Rappaport, and welcome to Rappaport to the Rescue. And have I got a great show for you today? Two of the most creative, beloved, and talented people are joining us, Neil Patrick Harris and David Burka. Now, Harris is an Emmy and Tony-winning actor, and of course, we all remember him when he captured our hearts in Doogie Howser, M.D., and as Barney Stinson on How I Met Your Mother. Neil was also brilliant when he hosted the Tonys, Emmys, and Oscars. And his husband, David Burka, is such a creative force to be reckoned with. He's an incredibly talented actor and chef who's appeared on Broadway and on TV and authored an amazing cookbook called Life is a Party. This dynamic duo are the very proud parents to twins, Gideon and Harper. And I had the pleasure of meeting them, and I can tell you firsthand, they are so lovely and kind. Together, this family supports so many important causes, not to mention they are huge animal advocates. And they have a new pet product project they're going to tell us about, which helps benefit the ASPCA. Plus, Neil and David had just launched a new book together called Both Sides of the Glass. Can't wait to hear all about that. And a reminder to all of my listeners, October is Adopt a Shelter Dog Month. So please open up your hearts and homes and your wallets to helping these animals in need. It will be the best gift you can give yourself. And some other great news about our podcast. Every month, we will now have a special segment called Cat Chat with Deborah Cribbs. This wonderful lady is truly devoting her life to making a difference for cats all over the country with a movement that is saving countless lives. Now, coming up, you definitely don't want to miss this interview with Neil Patrick Harris and David Burka. Stay tuned.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Rappaport to the Rescue. I'm Jill Rappaport. You know, they say the best things in life are worth waiting for. And have I waited for a long time for my next guest? I can't believe you're finally here. Neil Patrick Harris and David Burka, I am so excited to have you on the show.
We are so excited to be here. I know it's been a long time coming for us to do this, like since COVID, which is crazy. But I'm so glad that you've stuck by us and waited for all these years to have us on your show.
You are just the most amazing couple. And what I love is how you care so deeply about such important causes, and especially animals.
It's true. We do, you know, we like to get involved. And, you know, I was once told that life's all about love and service. You know, the more we can help each other out, the better we can all be. So, you know, taking care of each other, I think, is our human duty.
He said duty.
Oh God. I'm the serious one here, as you can tell. But of course, dogs and animals and any living things that we love, for sure.
We both grew up with pets. I mean, I've had dogs and cats since I was born, really. So pets have always been such a sort of pure, authentic part of our families, regardless of which family. And, you know, when you have kids as well, then pets are paramount.
I just remembered, I used to bring in, we lived in the woods in back of our house, and I would bring in every single time. I'd bring in birds, I'd bring in snakes and spiders, and my mom, like, can I keep it as a pet?
Well, it's so incredible because before we started rolling, and I wish our listeners could see this, you have the most adorable dogs, two of the four I got to see just now. Tell us about your animal menagerie in your family now.
We have a female dog named Gidget.
And
she is a rescue, and she's about 25 pounds.
Yeah, she's about 8 years old, I think. She might be longer. Older than that.
She was a rescue from Thailand originally.
Wow.
North Shore Animal League. Beth Stern actually hooked us up with Gidget.
And since she's from Thailand, she can do the craziest things with ping pong balls.
Oh, I love that.
She's very much of a diva. She's the one who runs the whole dog menagerie. Everyone takes orders from Gidget. We have this mud room where they sleep in at night, and she will just sit in there as a guard dog all day long.
Yeah, she bosses the dogs around. She thinks she can speak the English language. So there's a lot of different barks and rah-rah-rahs and rah-rah-rah-rahs. So she thinks she's very smart. She has a lot to say, which is great. Then Spike is our next dog. He's smaller than Gidget. He's probably 15 pounds. Another rescue.
What type of dog is Spike?
He's a Chihuahua French Bulldog mix.
And, wow.
And Gidget's more of like a Havanese poodle terrier. She's like a mix of so many things, but she looks like a teddy bear. Like you see her, she's very cute.
Spike is slick and sleek, and he doesn't bark much at all. He's a bit of an empath. He's amazing. He's kind of part seal, part ninja.
He's a bit more cat-like than anything. Like, he's got like sort of like, you leave me alone and I'll come to you when you're feeling whatever.
He likes to be kissed and stuff on the nape of his neck, like where his chest is between his shoulder blades. So he'll climb up and put his front paws on your shoulders and just be sort of staring at you and raise his chin up, and then you can give him kisses on his neck.
I love that.
Yeah, Spike's great. And then we got Chunk. Chunk is a dog.
That's a great name for that dog.
Oh, man.
It's like a Chunk.
He is the cutest. He's here now. We've got him right up near the microphone.
Oh, my goodness. I just wish everybody could see the face on this one.
Just big, stocky little pot roasts.
He keeps up with the big dogs, which is so crazy.
We had a golden retriever named Ella, and she passed away rather suddenly. And that was our fourth, but she was our baby. And then a couple of months after that, when we still wanted a fourth, we got this amazing
next
baby girl named Bianca. And Bianca is...
She is so beautiful.
What is her mix?
A Goldador.
Goldador.
So she's half English. Oh my God, she's so big.
Oh my God.
She's half English cream retriever and half white lab.
Yeah, I was going to say she looked pure lab to me.
She has a body of a lab, but a face of a retriever. So she doesn't have that stockiness of like a lab. Sometimes you see their heads are kind of like a helmet. She's got that long, sleek.
She is gorgeous.
She is gorgeous.
These are
gorgeous. And I love, Neil, how she leaned in and just gave you just the sweetest little kiss. And she's nuzzling on your shoulder now.
She'd rather be held, and Chunk would rather be roaming. Right now, recording this at our place in the city of New York, Manhattan. And normally the dogs would all be roaming with the dog door. And we have like a lot of acres of running space for dogs. But Bianca keeps wanting to get out of our property, which is not fun when you get a call from the neighbors.
Terrifying. Yeah.
I don't think it's anxiety or anything. I think she's very excited by all the critters that are on the other side of the fence.
And you're also the amazing proud parents to the most beautiful twins that I've had the pleasure of meeting, Gideon and Harper. I believe they're coming on 15 years old.
Yes. October 15th. Yeah.
I can't believe it because I met them, I think, when they were around 10. You've raised your children with the love of animals and how these animals have added so much to your lives and how you balance it all.
I think animals they're kind of a great disruptor. I think that animals allow a variable in your life where you're not just living in a structure that's the same every day. Dogs just change it up. They chew things up. And you have to deal with that. You go, I need to go walk them and meet new people. And I'm a massive fan of getting outside of your comfort zone a little bit and being immersive in your experiences. And so when you know, when the kids have pets, then you can train them, you can walk them, you can cuddle with them, you can groom them. There's just a lot of like real heartfelt time that you can spend with them. And Harper, when she was a baby child, like as soon as she could walk, really,
three, four,
she would go right up to animals and like in petting zoos and was not afraid of any of them. And she'd go to each of them and say, "It's okay. I got you. I got you." Little lambs and goats would come up to her. She'd be, "I got you. It's okay. I got you."
Oh, that's so wonderful.
Any animal.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah, they did a camp they do at Central Park Zoo, and they get to deal with some of the animals and meet all the animals. And it was one of her most favorite times when she got to, you know, feed the baby goats and see the kookaburra and the hedgehogs and the python snakes. I mean, she was afraid of anything.
And how about Gideon?
Oh, for sure. They both love animals. I think dogs have just this love that you can't explain. Like, even if you've had a bad day, they get it. They understand that you need extra love. This unconditional love that you burst through the door and they're just there happy to see you. And it just makes me happier to have animals around in my life. And why not create that in your world?
They really are members of our family, you know?
They're your children as well.
Yes, of course.
And we live in especially in a post-COVID time, where I think pets deserve to be treated as members of your family. You know, a lot of the past was, I think, spent with families giving their pets, their dogs, the cheapest food they could find.
Right.
You know, and now we've really pivoted into a time where you can get freeze-dried, healthy food, like cook your own animal's food. I actually have a pet company now called Tail, T-A-Y-L.
I wanted to talk about that. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we'll send you some products.
Oh, I want to hear. So tell me a little bit about that company, because I was fascinated that with everything you guys have on your plate, no pun intended, you're able to do this too.
Well, we really are just pet forward. And I think that pet space deserves to have well thought, well curated things that are for the pets, that aren't like cheap, mass produced, mass manufactured, uncomfortable and thoughtless, but instead worth spending a little bit of money for. It's in its beta form right now, dealing with mostly wearables.
Oh, nice.
We're doing, what are they called?
Scarves?
Bandanas.
Bandanas.
Which
Love
is
it.
One of those things I thought, that's an interesting thing, because the bandana normally is just a really ineffective piece of cotton fabric that is thrown on your dog when they get a haircut at the store or something.
Right.
You don't really, are you supposed to keep it? Are you supposed to wash it? You can't wash it. And so we've created ones that are nicer. We're doing four or five a season.
Oh, yeah. I have red bandanas on my dog because I have a Western ranch. And
oh, my gosh. We have to send you some.
Like if somebody's driving up the driveway, you see the bandanas. I look at it as a safety tool.
Oh, that's a very good point. Oh, love that.
Yeah, we're going to start using that.
Round two for Tail, it's going to be more leashes and collars and things like that. And then our end game is like larger crates and things. We have some good ideas for that crate world with pets, I think, deserves to be improved.
You mentioned all these products. David, being the premier incredible chef, please tell me you're going to be doing dog food.
Oh my gosh, I never even thought about that. But
Come on.
I could definitely do some dog food. That would be great. There's a great place for it.
We need healthy dog food. I mean, there are obviously a few brands out there that people swear by, but I am still on the fence with a lot of those things. I'm waiting for a pure, healthy dog food. You're the perfect one to launch that.
Dog food is a little tricky.
Anything ingestible. I know.
Yeah, ingestible is hard.
Well, considering everything you've got going on with the animals and your beautiful twins and your careers, you have this new book out now together. Let's talk about that. This is so exciting.
As a matter of fact, we do.
We do.
It's called Both Sides of the Glass.
Yes.
An expression we like. And it's appropriate. It's 50 cocktail recipes and 50 spirit-free or mocktail recipes. David is 9 years sober. And I love to have a cocktail or two, and sort of love the alchemy of mixing the drink and sort of making it, as opposed to just popping open a bottle of beer or something. And so we wanted to create something that you could give as a gift for someone that was in a similar situation. If you were going to a party and you didn't know whether the host drank or not, this would be a great option to give to them. And it's sort of a bunch of recipes and thoughts and a bunch of tips from David about how best to make shrubs and syrups and vessels to use. And it's broken down by the four elements. So there's fire and water and earth,
air
and air. And then you have recipes on spirit forward on one side and you flip the page and the spirit free ones are sort of...
I love this. It's so brilliant.
Yeah, no one's ever really done this. No, there's been cocktail books, there's been mocktail books, but to take like an old fashioned and like if my husband's going to drink an old fashioned, like I kind of want to partake in sort of the way he's making the night feel. So I came up with the new fashion. So it's, you know, you're taking these NA alternatives. There's a lot of really great products out now that are like NA gin, NA tequila. And of course, they don't taste exactly like the alcohol. And people who are sober sometimes feel a little triggered with sometimes how like the bourbons and the whiskeys, it's a little bit too much like booze. So
yeah,
I tend to
can
not
that trigger that again?
Go, yeah, I would get triggered by that. But in terms of like flavoring and being able to layer the flavoring with different kinds of syrups or teas or herbs and then these non-alcoholic spirits, we've come up with some really fun adult forward drinks. I got fed up with going to bars and restaurants and just having to order sparkling lime or a really sugary mocktail. Now there's a lot of really great options to make your night feel special without having to feel like you're standing back in the crowd and just drinking seltzer water.
I think that's a good point. When you go to a restaurant and you ask if they have any non-alcoholic drinks, the reaction up until fairly recently has been uniformly a confusion by the server, as if it's such like a lower class question. And David's absolutely right. There's many, many brands of spirits that contain no alcohol now. And so you could have a whole bar cart filled with things that you could totally drink, would feel respectable drinking, would enliven your mouth and your night, and then not leave you hungover the next day.
Oh, it's such a brilliant idea. I love that this book is coming out now. And the fact that you worked on it together, collaborating, what is that like? Talk about your working collaboration.
And good. It's really fun. I don't think we would have done a book together unless it was something where we were equally excited by it. And
right.
David's skill set is perfect for this. And I love mixing drinks and doing and exploring and taste testing and all of that.
We didn't really work together necessarily on the book so much because Neil developed the cocktails. And then from the cocktails, I took those and made the mocktails. So we were sort of in our separate corners until sort of we started putting it all together. And now, of course, the PR is the most I've seen him in months,
which is just kidding. Both of you are so incredibly busy in so many different areas. Tell us what else you're working on now that, you know, separate or together that we can look forward to in the future. I'll start with you, Neil.
I'm currently doing a play in New York on Broadway at the Music Box Theater called Art. It's a three-hander with Bobby Cannavale and James Corden, and it's playing eight times a week. So that's where I am until the end of December.
That's why I can't even believe you had time for this interview. I was so worried. I said, when do they have time to even sleep? That is really great. And I know, first of all, David, you are just the most amazing chef. What are you doing in terms of that?
The wheels are turning for Thanksgiving already, which is crazy. But I'm in the I have a huge garden farm in the Hamptons, so I'm in the process of canning. So I've been canning a lot of carrots and green beans, and I have two giant chest freezers full of tomatoes to start doing my tomato sauce. I gotta find somewhere to sell that. I don't.
That'd be great.
No, that'd be awesome.
Oak tomato sauce.
But I've been writing a lot, and I have a couple of writing projects that are not, I'm not able to really talk about, but there's some really exciting things down the line that I'm super excited about. There's a series that's coming out in the summer that I did for Amazon called Elle, based on the Legally Blonde show. It goes prequel to her life. But then I'm just, you know, taking care of kids and being...
David's always got three things going on. It's great.
The two of you. I mean, you're amazing.
Neil, too.
But you're twins. I mean, when you meet them, and I said this at the beginning of the show, they truly are just such lovely human beings.
Oh,
and that is such a testament to the two of you, how you raised them, how you brought them up. Your children just radiate kindness.
Isn't it funny that you could tell by the parents, by the kids? Like, you are, like, if you see a kid who's kind of a jerk, you know,
oh, yeah.
Most likely that the parents are going to be an a-hole. But, you know, honestly, if you put the work into anything, you get it back. And I do think that we both have done a really good job yinging and yanging on the parenthood that they get, you know, a lot of things. So we try our hardest. And it's like, the more work you put in, the more work you get out. And I'm seeing that now of how their kids are turning into being such great adults. They're fantastic.
We are ferociously proud of them.
Well, I am just so thrilled to finally have you on the show, and just continued success.
You too, Joe.
Most important, continued being the most amazing family that you are. As I said, I'm so fortunate to have met all of you, and you've really done it right.
That's very
sweet. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
We hope to see you soon and take care of your animals.
Yes, we've got to all get together. I'll bring my dogs to your house. I've got my whole pack laying next to me. I have four also.
Well, welcome.
Okay. And thank you all for joining us today for this very special show with two of my very favorite people. And there's more to come on Rappaport to the Rescue when we introduce you to a brand new segment called Cat Chat coming up.
Want to know who the latest trendsetters are in Hollywood? How about Irish setters? Find out who's been spotted with Spot, chowing with her chow, and shopping for Gucci with their Poochie. Get the scoop on all the latest celebrity pet patter right here. Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Cat Chat with Deborah Cribbs, founder of the Give Them 10 movement.
Welcome back to Rappaport to the Rescue. I'm Jill Rappaport. You heard in my last interview with Neil Patrick Harris and David Burtka that I teased our new cat correspondent. We have a brand new segment called Cat Chat with the amazing Deborah Cribbs. And Deborah, this is really going to be so much fun. For our listeners, we interviewed you a few months ago, and we just connected in the most special way. And the fact that you focus and devote your life to cats, I was so excited that you wanted to be part of Rappaport to the Rescue.
Well, thank you, Jill. I very much do want to be part of Rappaport to the Rescue. And I have devoted my life to cats, both as a person and now professionally. And I will tell you, it is the culmination of my life's work to be your cat correspondent. So thank you.
As I say, it's going to be in every show, 5 minutes of cat chat. I love that, you know, to really focus on these wonderful animals and what you're doing. And let's do a little recap. We have 5 minutes, and let's take people back and tell them about you, Deborah, and how you got involved.
Well, thanks for asking that again. I represent a group, a movement called Give Them 10. Why the name? You know, cats have 9 lives, right?
Right.
We say give them 10. And we started in the Cincinnati area, and we are working solely to make the lives of cats better and trying to make sure, Jill, that cats are no longer killed in shelters because of space. That's our aim.
And your message is resonating really throughout the country. Like you said, you've made such a huge difference in Cincinnati. But this movement is really becoming a movement.
We like to think so. I will say that the numbers that we've seen in Cincinnati over the decade that we've been doing this were so heartwarmingly wonderful. We went from a live release rate of about 37% to now well over 90%, which means that 90%+ of the cats that enter a shelter have a live outcome. They leave alive. This is what we're working for, making sure that cats aren't being killed in shelters. And as we have increased our marketing scope and started working with partners around the country, our spokescat, Scooter the neutered cat, hip spectacles, no testicles, a Scooter has roamed the country. The message is resonating.
And you're doing all these clever campaigns to catch our attention, aren't you?
We are. He is the best spokescat ever. And what we try to do is talk to the public in kind of an edgy and humorous way to catch their attention, but also tell them, here are some things that you can do to make sure that cats and dogs, for that matter, are not killed in shelters literally down the street from you.
And your love of cats runs so deeply and is really such a fiber of your life. But it was this one woman that you encountered that really changed your life and really made you able to do this incredible movement. Tell us about her.
That is very true. My day job, if you will, is as a financial advisor. And one of my clients, who was very wealthy, died and left a private foundation in my care. And that foundation was set up solely to support cats in Cincinnati. That is a really narrow focus. So we've really broadened it as the years have gone by.
And the fact that you were left this money, this income, to be able to make a difference, and she trusted you, that's what's so amazing, Deborah. She really put all her faith and trust and money in you and had this legacy live on to save countless cats.
Well, it's been an honor. I have a big team behind me, as well as a bank, and we all work really hard to stand by the mission that she outlined, which was to help cats. But now we're really, really looking to talk to people around the country about the way that we've succeeded in our part of the country. Everybody can succeed.
And every month, you're going to be picking a different topic about cats that we need to know about. Tease that a little bit for our listeners, Deborah. Tell us about some of the topics we're going to tackle in the months ahead.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you may not know that there are actual mental health benefits to having a cat in your house. And I might have a couple of ideas for the holidays, Jill.
Well, we need them. You know, the holidays are a time where everybody wants to be surrounded with the family and the people and the animals they love. And that's a whole other area where I do a campaign, Home for the Holidays, hoping that we can get every animal into a loving home. And I know that is your focus for cats as well. We want them all placed in the best homes possible. Right, Deborah?
Absolutely. We are completely aligned. And I really look forward to having these conversations every month, you're right, with a new topic or tip.
Oh, Deborah Cribbs, this 5-minute cat chat was so much fun. I love that people are going to get to know you. You're going to be part of Rappaport to the Rescue, and you're going to raise awareness for cats in need all over the world. We are so excited to have you.
Well, we are honored and pleased to be here, Jill. Looking forward.
All right. Thank you so much. And thank you for listening to this very special edition with our new cat correspondent, Deborah Cribbs, on Rappaport to the Rescue.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.